This is UN and Africa, the year ahead, a program that explores some of the major stories we can expect from the continent in 2016. I'm Deanne Penn. Coming up, a pivotal year ahead for people living in the Sahel. And several countries in Central Africa ramp up for critical elections. But first, protecting citizens is expected to be a major challenge for the United Nations in 2016, according to a top UN official. Hervé Ladsous, head of UN peacekeeping operations, says about 80% of uniformed peacekeepers are now serving at missions in Africa. A major part of their work revolves around keeping people safe. Matthew Wells spoke with Mr. Ladsous about what he expects with regard to peacekeeping on the continent in the year ahead.
I think one of the greatest challenges in Africa has to do with protection of civilians. This is actually the heart of the mandate, you know, in most of the missions that we were entrusted with over the last 10 or 12 years. And of course, we simply cannot put one peacekeeper behind every single citizen of DRC or of South Sudan, but we have to do our utmost to make it so that civilians in general, but also specifically women, specifically children, do not suffer. So we have to be proactive, we have to be very dynamic, we need to have sometimes a robust posture that has been required from us, in particular in DRC, you know, the Security Council gave us that very specific mandate there to neutralize armed groups, and we're trying to do that, but it's not an easy task. Also, we have to adjust to environments which are very, very specific now. That is to say, we're not dealing with governments, but mostly with non-state actors, including terrorist and jihadist groups, including transnational criminals. So it requires, you know, a major change in the way we operate. We need, of course, to invest a lot in technology, in intelligence/information, because if you want to survive in a terrorist environment like Mali, you need that information, you know. We are not a tool against terrorists, and that has been made very clear in the reports and the membership.
Clearly, you are a target for terrorism. That's the biggest problem that you face, isn't it?
That's the point, you know. We are operating in such environments, and we are targets. So we have to put a lot of effort in being able to face that in terms of making our people aware, in terms of training, of equipment, of proactivity. We are not a anti-terrorist tool, but we have to be able to do the job in that sort of ambiance.
For millions of people living in Africa's Sahel region, 2016 looks to be a pivotal year. The countries that make up the Sahel are some of the poorest in the world. In December, the UN launched a $2 billion humanitarian appeal for the region, saying up to 600,000 children there are at risk of dying from malnutrition in the coming year. Danielle Dickinson spoke with Toby Lanza, the UN humanitarian coordinator for the Sahel, and asked him what he expects over the next 12 months.
I think 2016 will be a year of opportunity, but also a year of severe challenge for the Sahel. It would be naive to imagine that we can overturn some of the tremendous difficulties that the societies face throughout the region in just 12 months, but we can make progress. Let me outline some of the challenges. We're talking about a region which has some of the poorest countries on earth. Let's take Niger as an example. It's ranked lowest on the Human Development Index. We're talking about a region which has been devastated by climate change, where much of the land is arid, and yet there are flash floods at certain times of the year. We're talking about a region which has been plagued by extreme groups who have installed themselves over the past few years in parts of Mali, in areas around Lake Chad.
How significant is the threat from terrorist groups?
Just to give you an idea, in December I managed to be in the northeast of Nigeria suicide bombings in that region are a weekly, if not sometimes, a daily occurrence. So the threat is very significant. If we look at the situation in Mali, we fear for the worst. There is perhaps some silver lining to this situation. I think the concerted efforts of the international community to underpin the work of the governments of the region themselves have helped stabilize the situation somewhat. Traveling around the Sahel, I was struck by the comments that a mother made to me in Mali, in fact. She said, you know, what future can there be for my son? He can be a drug dealer, a human trafficker, a gun runner, a rebel, a terrorist. What does the future hold for my son? I think that that was so moving and so motivational. Really, we all need to step up our efforts.
How important is this region in terms of global geopolitics?
You know, the Sahel is important in terms of geopolitics because it's a vast region, particularly rich in certain resources, but it's also a region that we wouldn't want to see fall into the hands of extremist groups. It's a region that's become increasingly unstable, unfortunately, in that regard. And it's a region where today there are at least 150 million people, and 20 years from now there could well be 300 million people. So as time moves on, the stakes get higher for the international community to help stabilize the situation, help countries develop, and avoid these devastating humanitarian consequences with which I have to deal throughout 2016.
With several countries in Central Africa due to hold elections in 2016, the need for free and fair electoral processes is being emphasized. UN officials in the region have warned about the possibility of conflict if planned elections in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, the Republic of Congo, and Burundi do not go well. Veronica Reeves spoke with Abdoulaye Bathily, the head of the UN's Regional Office for Central Africa, about his priorities for the next year.
Central Africa is one of the most volatile regions of Africa today. And among the issues which bring this volatility are the elections. You have two Congos. Of course, we have seen Burundi, which is an ongoing crisis. In my opinion, so long as we do not hold free, fair elections, we do not have elections based on a consensus among political actors, we are bound to have political crisis driving into conflict. And from conflict, usually what may happen in some countries is chaos. To avoid that chaos, leaders on both sides of the spectrum has to abide by the rules set up on the one hand. On the other hand, to have inclusive dialogue among themselves, so as to avoid political dispute, electoral dispute, and then which will plunge the country into protracted conflict.
In your most recent briefing to the Security Council, you also spoke at length about the activities of Boko Haram in the region. Can you give us an update on the terrorist threat?
Boko Haram has created already havoc in northern Nigeria, but also in Cameroon, in Chad, and in fact all the Lake Chad Basin area, including the area from Niger Republic. And today, it has created hundreds of thousands of refugees and a lot of destruction of villages and livestock. All the economic situation in the Lake Chad Basin area is almost at standstill now. And of course, militarily, Boko Haram has been significantly weakened by the attacks by the offensive led by Chad, Nigeria, and Cameroon. But it continues a new modus operandi, that is the suicide bombing, the destruction of villages, of countries and towns. And with respect to that, there is a need for the countries of the region to come together. And we are expecting that at the beginning of year 2016, the countries will come together and design a common strategy, not only militarily to defeat, eradicate Boko Haram, but also take measures for economic and social rehabilitation of the areas affected.
And that's our UN and Africa program from United Nations Radio. I'm Deanne Penn. And wherever you're listening, we here in New York are wishing you a safe and joyous start to the new year.